You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Jon Rahm enjoys a happy homecoming with victory at the Open de España.
One of the hardest Sundays, to be honest, but well, the crowd was amazing though. As much as he was feeding me the energy and how great he felt, how nice it was every time I hit a good shot to be reinforced like that. And people were clapping and trying to bring me up, so you know, they played a huge part. I came for them, so I'm just glad I could win this one for the Spanish people.
The world number four pipped Paul Dunne to the title after the Irishman couldn't convert his long-time lead into another success.
Yeah, a little frustrating. Not to be able to get anything going, not get any putts to go in. It's just one of those days. My game's great, you know, I hit the ball fantastic. You're sitting it long and straight. A little disappointed, but Spain has a great champion in John, and I'm sure he'll win many more of these.
A review of the best of the action from Madrid to come, plus we'll look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the Trophy Hassan Dur. And welcome, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by a globe-trotting Rob Lee. Rob, you've been to the Masters, you've been to Madrid. How are you?
Anything beginning with the letter M, I'm willing to cover. Yes, Augusta
Manchester,
was fantastic.
Morocco's
next up. Yeah, we'll talk about Morocco later in the show. But Madrid was brilliant. The crowds came flocking in to see their man Jon Rahm and all the other Spanish players that played well. But he was sensational. It was a really, really top week.
Free entry as well in Madrid. I mean, it makes a massive difference. We've seen it on European Tour events, mainly on the continent over the years. It's brilliant for the players, brilliant for the television coverage, great for the tour.
I know people want to recoup some money when they sponsor golf tournaments, but I tell you what, free entry seemed to, it ticks the boxes every time. And to see on day one, when Rahm went out, the first hole par five lined on both sides with people, even he was taken aback because he wasn't quite used to that. Yes, Phoenix is different, it's freaky. But in regular tournaments, that sort of crowd coverage was extraordinary. And they turned up to see their man, their new superhero, Jon Rahm, and he didn't let them down.
Really pleased to see him as well, because he contended in the Masters, and we know that over the years, if you contend at Augusta, generally, your next time out, you can fall a little bit flat. Most players don't even play, certainly not coming from one side of the Atlantic to the other. Just briefly on the Masters, because you were at Augusta. Great effort from Jon Rahm. Unfortunately, he didn't win. Your thoughts on the Masters 2018?
It was a brilliant tournament. I mean, Rory had a chance. Patrick Reed was superb and really dogged. It didn't quite go his way the whole time in the final round. Every time he slipped, he came back at the next hole. He showed us that he's got a big game temperament, Patrick Reed, and for him to win, which does suit him, he does naturally slide it right to left. That's the way he plays, and the course does tend to favour that if you can do that consistently, which he could. It was a great win for him, a European Tour member, and teeing off in the last three two balls, four of the six players were European. So it was a strong European performance, and for Jon Rahm, the odd thing was he went into the Masters as a world number three, finished fourth, and slipped down,
and drops down
to world number four.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And this week, after winning in Spain, he's fourth and remains fourth.
Fantastic week for him as well. There was a lot of pressure on him because he was the big name. He was world ranked four, as you've just explained. And I think the next best was, I don't know, a long way back. And he handled it very well because he was always bubbling away just off the pace and pounced late on.
Well, it was. You could see that John was carrying the weight of being the favourite, because so many people were there just to see him. There was no doubt about that. Everyone knew it. And he felt the weight of that. So to play like he did and come through in the final round like he did and give them what they wanted, it's not a smorgasbord menu. You can't just pick and choose where and when you win. But for him to come across to play and support the Spanish Open and then for him to win it, it was dreamy.
Got off to the best possible starts on the Sunday by birdieing the first two holes. Yeah. Paul Dunne got off to slow starts on other rounds, but managed to fight back, but he couldn't get it going, could he, the Irishman, early on?
No, he could. It was a perfect start for Jon Rahm. Chip and putt birdie four at the first, a 400-yard drive at the second, and a little pitch and a putt to go two under after two. Then after a couple of holes, he was tied with Paul Dunne. Natural, Vera had a birdie in the first two. He was tied with Paul Dunne. So it was very tight. Paul Dunne could have birdied a couple of holes and pulled away. It didn't happen. Then there was a referee involved. They got a bit behind on the clock and they were trying to rush, and it didn't really suit the last two ball, that's for sure. But Elvira kept his challenge going. He played really well until the very end.
I'm going to say he turned in to be the main challenger, didn't he? He made birdie on 13 and 14, but unfortunately came to grief when he was tied for the lead on 17.
Well, he made a brilliant birdie at the 14th, which was into the wind and over 230 yards. So he had a fantastic shot in there and held a 30-footer. 17, back left pin, water left, wind into and from the left. The worst combination of all. The only place you can't really go, and I know it's stupid to say it, is the water.
Was he trying to put it close, do you think? Do you think he had to push because the last is a par five? He knew that Rom was going to do something
no,
there.
No, I don't think that's not a flag you go for, where it was, with the wind, everything with the water left, flag tight left, wind into off the left. That is a no-go pin. The place to hit it is 15, 20 feet right at the hole and try and make that. Because the penalty for going in the water is so great. John Rahm nearly went in the water. He might have gone for the flag because he seems to just have a green light everywhere he goes. Driver everywhere, and where's the flag? That's how he plays.
As it is, Elvira nearly saved par. How close was he?
Well,
an inch? A centimetre? Half a centimetre?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tremendous effort, but in the end, it was a double, and the double killed him because Rahm by then had driven his 350-yard tee shot, which was for 300 yards over water, by the way, at 18, into the middle of the fairway. And I was stood there with Andrew Coulter, who was doing the on-course commentary, and I said, what has he got? He said, 186 to the pin. And it was 181 or 2 to the top of the ridge. I think I said, we'll just push an 8 in there. He said, no. He said, he'll hit 9. I said, well, I don't think he'll carry it all the way back there. He pitched it 190 yards from the fairway with a 9-9, and his caddy dissuaded him from hitting a wedge. Honestly. The drive was phenomenal. To hit it as far as he did down the middle of the last fairway was phenomenal, and so was the second shot.
Come on, I know that I never put you in this ilk of former golfers who talk about the olden days and talk about the yardages and so on and so forth, but when you were playing, 9-9 for you?
9-9 for me, back when I started playing, I'd say the modern 9-9 now that was the old 8-9. So there is a club difference.
Okay.
Definitely. The new clubs, the way they're constructed, can have less loft and still get the ball as high, so they go further.
I was going to say, if you're playing that second shot in your day, what would you take?
Very good. Eight? So if it was down breeze, it's a bit of altitude in Madrid. Oh, no, 8-9, no chance it was an 8-9. If it was 182 to carry the ridge, down breeze, even with a bit of altitude.
What's your caddy pulling out the bag for you?
The caddy.
Give me the conversation.
The caddy.
Here, so, because you've told me some.
So what do you think, Jimmy?
You've told me some good stories about your caddy. So
Edinburgh, Jimmy.
Give me the conversation.
Right, we got to get on top of that ridge, right? We don't want to be doing the front. It's a 50 footer. Got to get above that ridge. So what is it, Jim? What do you think? Got 182 to carry the ridge. Downwind, bit of elevation, yeah? Yeah, go on. What club is it?
Come on, what's coming out?
Smash a 6-iron. 6-iron, is that going to get me there? It'll get you there. Just get on with it. And it would have been a 6-iron.
Would have been a 6.
Yeah. You know, 190 to just get past the pin, even if sometimes breeze knocks the ball out of the air. It would have been an old money with a soft, tightless golf ball and lofts that we used to have. It would have been a 6-iron, which is a modern 7-iron.
Yeah.
And then you add the new ball in, you might smash and... I wouldn't get an 8-iron. Okay. 9-9!
That's the last time on the show that we're going to let you have that trip down memory lane. Paul Dunn also birdied the last as well. I was a little bit disappointed with Paul. I think he's a terrific player, and
He is a very, very good player.
He never got going, did he, on that last day?
He's a very good player, and he hits the ball surprisingly a long way. I mean, he was pumping out there this week, Paul Dunn, so there's a lot of aspects to his game that are really good. The only thing he's got to do, and he's got to look at it, I know... The psychologists say stay in the moment, hit when you're ready and the rest of it, but he needs to find a way to speed it up. Picking on him, but it's going to cost him because if you consistently get in the slow group, if that happens every time you go out there and then you get under the heat on the Sunday afternoon, and on top of all the things you've got to manage in your game and your mind, there's also a guy on the side of the fairway with a stopwatch. You just don't need that. So he has got to find a way to find a pace of play that's not going to be an issue for him. Because he's far too good a player.
He's a powerful hitter. I've noticed that a lot of these golfers... I know, but they're booked up. I mean, Paul Dunn has got muscles upon muscles.
Well, you said you didn't want to go into how far people were hitting, and now the next thing you bring up is how far he is.
No, all I'm saying is I don't want to go back to yesteryear. I just look at Paul Dunn and think, crikey, he must work out in the gym. Anyway...
He's a strong lad.
He's a big boy.
And he swings it very well. He's got a big game ahead of him.
Back on Jon Rahm, incidentally, a Spanish winner of... the Open de España, the 6th Spanish winner, 5 previous winners since the Spanish Open came on tour. Can you name, Rob, the other 5? Oh. Do you want to... We can give you a few minutes. Seve is one.
Sergio.
Sergio is another. Let me write these down.
Miguel.
See, what I love about Spanish players, they're all known by their Christian names. Keep going.
Antonio.
Oh, you pulled that one out. 1972. You might have to give the surname for this one.
Garrido.
Correct. Noddy's boy. Anyway, go on.
I'm one out.
You're one out.
Manuel Pinheiro.
No.
Whoa.
We'll give you a few minutes on the one that you're missing. We'll give our listeners a few minutes as well. So okay. we've got Sergio, Miguel, Seve, and Antonio Garrido. We need one more. Speaking of Spanish players, an awful lot of
love. Are you
going to
give me a year?
I'll give you the time it takes Paul Dunn to take a shot.
Well, that's three podcasts.
to give me the final answer. Speaking of Spanish golfers, Ram got a lot of love from his compatriots on social media. Sergio Garcia says, always great to see a Spaniard winning our National Open. Congratulations, John Ram, and a great effort from Nacho Oliveira all week. Vamos! Rafa Cabrera Bello says, congratulations, John Ram. Good that a Spaniard wins the Open de España. Big Nacho Oliveira fighting until the last minute. And his efforts didn't go unnoticed from the European Ryder Cup captain, Thomas Bjorn, who says, brilliant, John Ram, to win your National Open. Is a special achievement. He's nailed on for the Ryder Cup, isn't he?
He was nailed on the day he turned pro. Yeah. The day he turned pro. Not the hour he turned pro, he was nailed on. Mm. The guy, when he turned pro, with a few tournaments in the summer, still felt he could make the Ryder Cup side when everyone had a full tilt at it for a year.
You got that fifth golf yet?
I've been thinking about it. I've been too preoccupied by your questions.
Well, think on, because it is time to hear from the Open de España champion now, John Rahm.
Man, it's such a satisfying feeling, you know. When I made the decision to come straight from Augusta, it wouldn't mean to just show up and walk around. I wanted to win this tournament for many reasons, right? I've been blessed to be national champion from the ages of 16 to, you know, all ages in Spain, I think five times or six times. So, you know, to round my amateur and pro career together, kind of link them this way and, you know, win the last one I had to win and join that prestigious list of winners that have won this event, the Spanish winners. You know, it's hard to explain how good it feels and how satisfying it is.
Was there a particular hole you thought might have won it for you?
I mean, I could pick many, honestly. That putt on 13 was very important. Again, that up and down on 17. I believe that ball staying up out of the hazard was very important as well. But then hitting the drive I hit on 18, I mean, I hit a 9-iron into that par 5. It's just once I hit on the fairway, I knew the birdie was going to happen. But, you know, that wouldn't have been set up like that if it wasn't for that shot on 17. So I guess, you know, lady luck playing a part on this one and that ball staying up and then being able to make that four-footer.
And obviously the crowd being a 15th club almost out there today for you.
It's been amazing. I mean, it truly is probably it's actually the hardest Sunday I've ever had on any tournament that I've won, just because the crowd wanted it so much and I wanted it so much that, you know, must have been. I mean, you can tell, you know, how excited everybody is. You know, I felt that tension, I felt that stress, I felt everything magnified, so it was hard to get myself calm. And again, it was just one of the hardest Sundays, to be honest. But well, the crowd was amazing. You know, as much as he was feeding me the energy and how great he felt, you know, how nice it was to every time I hit a good shot to be reinforced like that. And even the times I hit it on the water, people were clapping and trying to bring me up. So, you know, they played a huge part. I came for them mainly. So I'm just glad I could win this one for the Spanish people.
Massive support, but brings a certain pressure as well. He said it's his hardest Sunday on a golf course.
I can believe that because I could see the intensity in the crowd early on the week on the Thursday. When they started streaming through the gates, because I wasn't sure how big the crowds would be in Madrid. Not always massive crowds, but he has in a very short while caught their imagination. And you know the great thing, crowds were there, families were there. I've never seen so many young kids. Golf tournament. That's what was really good. And around that picket fence recording area, it was kids shouting and screaming. They were sort of 10, 11, 8 years old. It was fantastic.
Come on then. We're missing one golfer. You've got four of the five. Former Spanish.
Ramon Soto.
No. A little bit more modern. Ooh. Still playing.
Still playing.
Big hitter. Not Paul Dunn.
Still playing big hitter.
Yeah. Come on. Think on. Won on tour last year, bounced back. He had a couple of lean years prior to that. While Rob thinks about it, and you guys listening in, I can tell you that Ram's three European tour wins have come in just 19 events, making him the third fastest player to reach that mark and the quickest European to reach that mark. And while Rob continues to think about this,
I'm not
final.
I'm listening to your
Spanish
words
golfer.
Of non-wisdom.
do you want his initials?
Well, it's not Rafa.
No, it's a podcast, so you have to say something.
Well, he won last year.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I will keep this going. Very surprising that you've not got this one. Anyway, let's talk about the rest of the leaderboards. We can hear from longtime leader Paul Dunn, who wasn't too downcast about his second place finish.
Yeah, you know, I felt like I hit the ball great. My short game let me down a little bit, you know. I hit a lot of chips that I thought were better than they were, and I just kept misjudging bounces. Some of them skidded, some of them bounced soft, and I feel like when I played for one, I got the other result. So, a little frustrating not to be able to get anything going, not get any putts to go in. It's just one of those days. My game's great, you know, I hit the ball fantastic. You're hitting it long and straight. So I feel good going in the next few weeks. Obviously disappointed not to win, but is what it is.
Fifth, eighth, second, his last three starts worldwide, Paul Dunn. Yeah. He's in brilliant form, isn't
he? Yeah, a couple of big weeks in on the PGA Tour and then now back across to play some European Tour events. His career is going in the right direction. Like I said, really good player. I didn't realise he was as long as he was last week. I didn't think he hit it that far, but he hit some big tee shots. So, you know, you add power in there and all aspects of his game are really good. As I said, there's just one thing he's got to work on, and that is find a way to be in a happier space playing at a quicker pace.
Nacho Elvira was another Spaniard in contention to win his home event, but eventually missed out, having to settle for third.
A little bittersweet, I'll say. I mean, it's been a fantastic day. Obviously, just one shot cannot summarize, you know, the whole day. It was just a wrong shot at the wrong time. But I'm really happy. I mean, obviously, playing against Jon Rahm is always tough. He's a great player, and I just came out short this time.
There's a whole more positives than negatives to take out this week.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's always good to be in contention, you know, and having two holes to go and being in contention to win a European Tour event is always good. There's definitely more positives than negatives. If there's any negatives, I'll say that. But I'm just happy that I turned my game a little bit around from the beginning of the season and hopefully keep it up for the next events.
Gone close on a number of occasions, hasn't he? We're gonna
Álvaro Quirós.
Correct.
My buddy Álvaro.
Yeah. Correct.
I've let you down, Álvaro. I apologise for that.
You know, if Álvaro, and I know he's a regular downloader of this podcast, so the next time you see him, you might have to, you know, give him a glass of sangria or
he'll
something.
He'll be cool. He'll be cool.
A word on Nacho. He's got close on a number of occasions. I mean, he pushed Jon Rahm more than Paul Dunn did yesterday.
I watched Nacho a couple of years ago in Morocco hit two magnificent shots. We're driving a three-year onto the 18th par five. And Jonghyun Wang made a couple of 50-footers against him in the final green, in the playoff hole, and he pipped Nacho Elvira. He has been a good player for a long time. The win is around the corner.
We need the top 10 from the Open de España, please, Rob.
The top 10, not including, on this occasion, Álvaro Quirós, looked like this when I find the right piece of paper. Where are we? That is not it. That is the race to Dubai. That is next week's field. Right, Daniel, the top 10. In first place was Jon Rahm with a terrific 67 the final round. Two-shot victory over Paul Dunn. One shot back from him was Nacho Elvira. George Coetzee came through the field with a final round of 63. Jorge Campillo, Brett Rumford, and Henrik Sturehed and Mark Warren all tied for fifth. And a word on Henrik Sturehed, because he's just turned professional, hasn't made a penny yet in half a dozen appearances, and acquitted himself very well his first weekend on the European Tour. So fifth place money tied was just under a pip under 50,000 euros for Henrik Sturehed. So much welcome monetary help for him. That's great. And Julien Gerrier, Jacques Kruijswijk, and Hideto Tanihara tied for ninth. Jacques Kruijswijk, a footnote for him, out in 29 on the Saturday.
And a footnote and a congratulations to the Spanish amateur, Victor Pastor, who finished tied 12th in his first European Tour event. 23-year-old score of 13 under included two 5-under par 67s. Was this a young man that was being talked about in Madrid? Do you know of him?
I saw him have a really good first day and I thought, well, it'd be interesting, you know, in a sort of amateur way, watch that. If he makes the cut, it would be great. He just kept going. Top 12 in a professional tournament as an amateur is extraordinary.
Last week's predictions, Richard Boxall was alongside me, two picks each. Of course, one has to be outside of the top 50 from the 2017 Race to Dubai standings. The scoring system, 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, minus 5 for a miscut. I went for Paul Dunn, who was second, got me 10 points.
Yes.
Aaron Rye, who was 12th, got me 5 points. Boxy went for Pablo Larrazábal. Tied 21st gets you 0. And Andrew Johnston, who was tied 12th, who picked up five. Aaron Rye, interesting.
So the great minds, the great minds, the cognoscenti that were in this box 1 week ago.
I think it's pretty good scoring.
Had four
there.
Picks, and none of you went for John Rahm, the world number four.
Well, what we suggested at the start of our prediction
there
discussion.
There is no IQ tester sitting here, is there? There can't
on,
be.
Hang on 1 second. What we decided, because we both were sort of almost, we almost came to blows about who was going to pick John Rahm, and then the producer got in between us and said, look, why don't you both pick outside of Mr. Rahm? Because he was such of the short price favourite, and we thought, okay, you know, and we sort of...
That is rubbish.
It's the truth.
That's rubbish. Did you,
it's
were you
absolute,
coerced into...
It's
were
the
you
co- absolute
are you telling
truth.
Me, as a man who whose stats and odds up to your neck... were coerced into not picking John Rahm. Is that what you're telling me?
Look, you know what I'm like in the show.
You're defending my position over there.
Listen, I got you 15 points and Mr. Boxall managed a haul of five.
You could have got me 30 points.
The presenter is on 105, the co-presenter is on 35. The co-presenters have to take the presenters out for dinner at the end of the year, by the way. Boxy said he'd be up for that. So
what do I do? Pay myself?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
You can pay for the drinks.
All right.
In the Fantasy Race to Dubai game...
I'd rather pay for dinner, be cheaper.
Rob Kelly still sits atop the global standings, while Mark Eckhout had the best week at the Open de España. He had John Rahm as his captain, while his side also featured runner-up Paul Dunn. Meanwhile, in the Race to Dubai show mini-league, Stephen Goggin notched the most points, while fellow listener Chris Coles is still out in front. How did you do, Mr. Lee?
I don't know. I think my producer, the one that doesn't coerce, said that I finished seventh, or I'm seventh.
You are seventh on the week, or seventh on the week. We're getting the nod. Seventh on the
seventh
week.
On
that's
the
not
week.
Bad.
And overall, about the same place, probably.
Yeah, I forgot to do mine for the Masters because we didn't have a week before. It's absolute.
But our producer forgot to do it, so he auto-enrolled as it does, and the machine put in Patrick Reed.
That's an
for him.
I know.
And who else?
John Rahm.
Unbelievable.
Absolute cheat.
Unbelievable.
He's
Jeff.
An absolute cheat.
Yeah.
Remember to head to europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the Trophy Assain de this week's event on the European Tour, of course. Top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings next.
Race to Dubai standings. Patrick Reed out in front after playing just three events, but of course he is the Masters champion. Shubhankar Sharma is in second. Tommy Fleetwood third. Kiradek Apibanrat is fourth. John Rahm is now fifth. Rory McIlroy sixth. Tyrrell Hatton seventh. Cameron Smith from Australia eighth. Alex Noren nine. And Rafa Cabrera Bello in 10th spot.
Early stages, but who would be your pick for the Race to Dubai winner?
My Race to Dubai winner is Rory McIlroy.
Mm-hmm. Still hopeful that he's going to get a major win this year.
Listen, it doesn't matter how good you are. Winning majors is coming right 4 days in a given week. It's very hard to say you're definitely going to win a major. But do I think he's got every chance of winning one? Absolutely.
What happened in the last round of the Masters, in your opinion, with Rory?
For Rory, do you know, it just didn't happen for him. He got himself into a great position after some really sensible play through the first 3 days. And he was great. He looked great. Tee shot at the first was a worry. He made a fantastic bunker save at left-hand side of the first green. Par. Mistake from Reed. The three shots became two. And then down the next hole, the par five, he smashed his drive down the middle. Beautiful iron shot to 4 feet, probably. And if he knocks that in, him and Reed, all of a sudden, after two holes, are all square. And he missed it. And I don't know. It was a bit of a setback.
Did that affect him a little bit mentally?
What affected him was the bogey at the next. He bogeyed the next, Rory, from the fairway. I don't know if that was the right play or not. He could have hit driver close to the green. But that left-hand pin position on the third green is treacherous. Reed played it the same way as Rory, got it on the back edge. And if Reed doesn't, if his putt doesn't come in, go in the hole, coming back down the hill, it's going to be a five. But he made three, Rory made five. I think that was a killer blow at the third hole.
You mentioned Tommy Fleetwood there, who is very much involved when it comes to the Race to Dubai rankings and looking to defend his title. Played golf with Pep Guardiola yesterday, the Manchester City manager who celebrated City winning the title. I'm not quite sure if Pep was going mad on the fairways with Tommy.
Well, Pep said he was going to not watch the football and go and play golf with his son. Now, he didn't mention Tommy Fleetwood at the time. Maybe Tommy just sort of bowled up and said, do you mind if I join you?
Yeah,
one of those
maybe.
Jobs. Maybe it wasn't even organised. You know, Tommy's just hanging around, you know, Race to Dubai number one from 2017. Can I, you know, any chance of a knock, Pep? What do you think?
Do we think he's a good player? I mean,
here's the thing, right?
You know, do you think he's a good player, Guardiola?
Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood is a mad Everton fan, and it's always the same. Tommy will want to talk about football all the way around the golf course, and Pep will want to talk about golf all the way around the golf course.
Do we think he's a good player, Pep?
I think he would have to take the intensity away that he's got on the sidelines, perhaps, and relax a little bit more on the golf course. If he has that same intensity on the golf course, I'm not sure that's going to help the amateur player. There's a place to be where it's a kind of mixture of focus and relaxation, but when you have too much intensity, I don't know, it's not going to help. But the same Mourinho, they're two peas out the same pod.
Sandy Way Golf Club in Cheshire, and a venue you know at all?
No, it's not. No, it's not, but it's in the area.
Some nice courses in the northwest. Two other PGA...
Name another one.
I don't know.
Well, you've got all the coastal ones down, you know, and it's just near Liverpool, Southport. Fantastic.
I don't class
open
that,
venues.
I don't class that as the northwest.
What is it then if it's not the northwest?
One second, and we need the Ryder Cup standings next, Rob.
Ryder Cup standings are just around the corner. Here we are now from the money list from the Race to Dubai. Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Rose, John Rahm, Ross Fisher are the four names that are in bold print. So they're in if it's stopped right now. And from the world points list, it's Rory McIlroy, Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia, and Alex Noren. But interestingly, Ian Poulter is just behind Alex Noren in the world points list.
Would Poulter be one of your picks if he doesn't get in automatically?
If Ian Poulter plays well enough to get close, if he's top 15 for me, I'm going to pick him. Because his Ryder Cup record is incredible. And a bit like Patrick Reed, when he gets himself in that Ryder Cup place, which he does, and he's playing well, if he's playing... No good at all. If he's 25th on the list, he doesn't get a pick. He's got to be quite close to the top 10.
Even though...
Inside the top 15, I think he'll get a pick.
Even though the way that he qualified the Masters by winning in Houston, yeah, and what happened the previous week, he's put himself under... Well, the situation meant that he was under tremendous pressure to make the Masters. Would you not go back to that time? Even if his play wasn't as good as it was, No.
If Ian plays well enough to be inside the top 15 with his Ryder Cup record, and what he brings, it's not just what he's done, it's what he brings, that Poulter, come on, whatever type thing, brings that to the team room, which is so important. If he's playing well enough to get into that top 15, I think Bjorn would have to pick him. Have to.
Matt Fitzpatrick, Henrik Stenson, just outside those lists. Do the same rules apply? Have they got to be playing well near the Ryder Cup, or can you have something in the bank that says, this guy plays anyway, regardless?
Here's my view on this. Everyone else has got to play their way into the team. They need to be in that top eight. Other than that, it's now what the captain fancies. And you'll have to accept that you might be 11th and not get picked. You might be 10th and not get picked. That might happen. The fact is, you haven't played well enough to play yourself automatically into the side.
But you're suggesting Poulter, for example, has got to be close.
I'm saying Poulter will leapfrog players. If he's outside the top 12, but close enough, I think he'll get a pick. He will leapfrog players.
Speaking of Mr. Poulter, to the PGA Tour next, and Poults couldn't capitalise on his overnight lead at the RBC Heritage, with the event eventually going to Japan's Satoshi Kaidara. Following a playoff with Siwoo Kim, Poulter finished tied 7th. A bit disappointing, I guess, if we reined it back a year or so. We think, good effort coming back to form, but because he won in Houston, because he went close in the match play, because we know that he's on the up once again, I guess we expected him to win.
Well, and I don't know expected him to win, because it's such a fiddly course that so much can happen. You can get blocked out, your sight lines are slightly out, and you don't have to hit too many bad shots to get in an awkward spot. Do you know what? The great thing for Ian Poulter, 7th, and he's disappointed. That's a massive turnaround in the previous 12 months.
Maybe you didn't fancy winning that jacket that you get for the RBC.
Oh, the plaid. The plaid jacket,
plaid.
Yeah. You get another one that's very similar, I think, at the Byron Nelson.
Yeah, maybe.
You get...
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Colonial. Colonial Country Club.
The plaid's
Club.
A bit right. I noticed that Patrick Reed went to the Chick-fil-A chicken...
Isn't it Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A.
Is it Chick-fil-A?
I don't know. Do you go to these places?
Never frequented Chick-fil-A. That particular establishment.
He picked up his chicken dinner in his green jacket.
Winner chicken dinner then. It worked out, didn't it?
Hey? Yeah, absolutely. I guess it must be some sort of fast food chicken joint.
I think you can drive through.
Oh, really?
That kind
See,
of says
I've never
it
done
all,
that.
It?
I don't know. I
must have had a drive through McDonald's.
No, never.
Never, ever?
No, never.
Well, how can you? You don't drive.
Well, I do. I have got a licence. But
you don't actually drive a car.
Well, occasionally.
You do. That's occasionally a massive element in the drive-through situation. You have to have a car.
Team England represented
have
by...
Have you gone to a drive-thru in a taxi?
Do you know what? I have once. Anyway.
Oh, you see?
anyway. Team England, represented by Eddie Pepperell and Matt Wallace, and the England's women's team of Georgia Hall and Charlie Hull, will go head-to-head at Golf Sixes after the draw for this year's competition was made last week at the host venue Centurion Club near London. Hall and Hull made the draw alongside Lukas Bjerregaard, who won the inaugural event for Team Denmark with Torbjørn Olesen for the group stage of the second edition of Golf Sixes, which takes place from May the 5th to the 6th, something innovative on the European Tour. Once again, we've got the women playing this year.
I'm doing that. I'm covering that for Sky.
Ah, yes. Terrific.
So I didn't do it last year. So I'm looking forward to see how it all works out and how compact it can all be. That's what I'm looking forward to. It's a new format. And, you know, we're trying all these things on the European Tour to see which one gets traction.
Some things are working. I noticed that the PGA Tour have got walk-up music for one of their events upcoming this year. Something that, I mean, they're looking at what the European Tour does.
Oh,
this is it.
We were first.
This is the thing.
We were first.
They're copying us all the time.
Go on, Keith Pelly.
What would be your walk-on music, Rob?
Oh, a tune to walk on to.
Yeah, come on.
On to...
It's a Stevie Wonder...
Representing England, Mr. Rob Lee.
Stevie Wonder track, I think. Dun 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 dun. By the time I got to tea,
what song is that? What song is it?
I Wish. It's called I Wish.
It's called I Wish.
Yeah.
It's one that I don't know.
Yeah,
how does
know
it go?
It.
Give me some of the lyrics.
No,
that's not lyrics.
I can't remember the lyrics.
You can't remember the lyrics to your own walk-on song.
Do you know what I remember? It's the funkiest start to a record you've ever heard. So if I want, so as soon as I hear the first beat of that, it's a bit like what do you choose to walk into the boxing ring?
Yeah,
you're not going to choose something slow and even keeled and very flat.
No, not going to choose a Coldplay song.
It's got something. It's got to have a bit of punch in it.
Excellent.
And from the first beat of that Stevie Wonder track, I Wish.
That's it.
Sensational. Sensational.
Speaking of sensational, 10 sensational golfers populate the top 10 in the world. How do they rank?
Dustin Johnson is still the world number one. Justin Thomas second. Jordan Spieth third. John Rahm still fourth. Justin Rose still fifth. Ricky Fowler still sixth, as they were all the way through to the top 10. Rory McIlroy seventh. Hideki Matsuyama eighth. Brooks Koepka nine. And Sergio Garcia rounds out the top 10.
On to this week's event now, as the tour heads south from Spain to Morocco for the Trophy Hassan II. At Royal Golf Dar es Salaam. Last year, Eduardo Molinari won his first European Tour title since 2010 with a playoff victory over Paul Dunn. We've seen the previous two renewals, Royal Golf Dar es Salaam. I think there's one or two changes this year, but it was used previously. But we had the course in the Palace that was used for a few years, didn't we?
Agadir.
Yeah, this is different.
Yes,
yeah,
different place.
Because the other one was literally in the King's grounds?
Within the walls of his...
So nobody... No, I know this is not this week, but I'm always fascinated to hear the story. No one plays it by the King? Is that it?
I think you can't turn up and pay a green fee.
Okay.
That kind of says it all.
What do we know about this course?
Fantastic golf course. It's a really good test. The players love it because in the end, you end up hitting every club in your golf bag. And it finishes with a fantastic par 5 that sweeps around the corner and goes slightly uphill from right to left. The ninth hole is a par 3 over water. And in fact, when Richard Boxall, formerly of this seat, used to play that ninth hole over water with about a 6-iron. I mean, the green is big enough that the New York Giants could play on it. He never thought he could find the green. He panicked about clearing the water with a 6-iron with the ball sitting on the tee peg. You ask Boxall about that. He used to hate that ninth hole. It's a great golf course.
It is the red course at Royal Golf Dar es Salaam, and it spans more than 7,600 yards. And according to the blurb I've been given, it traverses through a forest of cork, oak, and eucalyptus trees.
And my response to that should be...
I don't know. I just thought I'd let you know. So, you know...
It is tree-lined.
Cork, oak, and eucalyptus.
I must say that when I played there, I never looked and thought, my goodness me, it's cork, oak, and eucalyptus.
No.
They just look like places you shouldn't be going. Stay where the grass is cut.
7,600 yards. I see that number, and I just think, well, you've got to go for a big hitter this week.
Do you know what? Last week was a short golf course. By modern standards, it doesn't matter. Big hitting always helps. Doesn't matter what course you're on.
Eduardo Molinari is the defending
190
champion.
190 yards, 9-9. Did I mention that?
Yes, you did. Eduardo Molinari, could he go in again? It's amazing how his career has gone, because at one stage he looked like he was going to be something very, very special and then fell off a cliff but came back last year.
So we're getting on to Eduardo Molinari. I'm asking you the question. Was it a penalty for Madrid against Juventus?
Of course it was a penalty.
All day long.
Nailed down.
All day long.
What did Eduardo say? It was a penalty. I presume you've had this discussion with him.
Well, I'll tell you how it went. He's a fanatical Juve supporter. And when he walked past me, the next day, I'm in the shoot and he's walking past. And I was talking to Andrew Coulthard and I said it loud enough because we're open. But it was a definite penalty to Coulthard. And all I can say is that Eduardo turned round and waved at me, but his hand made a funny shape. I didn't recognise it. It didn't look like a normal wave.
An Italian wave, obviously. Molinari, not really done too much this year, has he? Alex Lavie playing, playing?
But it's sort of, no one does anything until they do something. You know, it's really strange,
isn't
it?
But, you know, we're all looking for sort of people who are on the bubble.
Again,
top
you're
10s,
a trend
top
man.
20s,
you're a trend
you
man.
Know?
Who's trending?
Well, Joost Luiten's playing well. Winner this year.
Yeah, he's...
You know,
he's
a couple of top 20s at the
played
venue.
Played beautifully in Oman. Yeah. Yeah, he did.
You know, Paul Dunn was beaten in a playoff by Eduardo last year. We saw how well he played last week. He's got three top 10s coming. These are the numbers I look at.
If you go first.
Eddie Pepperell, Matt Wallace, Chris Wood all playing.
Eddie Pepperell winning this year.
Thomas Peter's in the lineup this week.
An invitation, yeah. So that must have been a late decision for him to go there.
He's looking for some form, isn't he, obviously?
He needs form.
He needs it.
He's you know, we need him in the Ryder Cup.
Well, here's the question. We were talking about Pults before. You know, does Thomas Peter's come into that category of, look, just be close enough to the teams that are going to get automatically. You don't have to be the next cab off the rank, but because of what
Thomas
he did.
Peters got 4 points out of five in the last Ryder Cup, he is a player that Thomas Bjorn would consider. And we know how much heart he's got. He's no fear when he's playing well, no fear. We know him, that's unquestionable. So if he gets close, he would be a hard person to look past.
The winner this week, does he get some sort of nice save?
There might be someone that finishes ninth or tenth that hasn't got much Ryder Cup experience. He might not be fancied by the captain. Therefore, someone like Peters in 11th or 12th, with his previous outing in the Ryder Cup, would get the nod.
The winner,
it's
this,
not rocket science.
The winner this week, Rob, is it like a big sabre or a knife or something like that?
A scimitar.
That's it. I knew you knew.
No, it's a kind of... It's a bejeweled...
What is it?
It's a bejeweled... It's a kind of a...
What would you call it?
I'm not sure if it's a big knife or a small sword. I'm not sure what it is, but it's encrusted.
Is it better than a plaid jacket?
I would take the Moroccan trinket over the plaid jacket any day.
Well, could you get it on the plane on the way back?
Well, it does get it on the plane, yeah. Players take it home.
Oh, really? What? Yeah. Sat with them? Or?
Not in their top pocket. In the hold.
Anybody else who's playing this week that we think might be competitive, that may well rediscover some form or confirm some form, it's, you know, a fairly good regular European Tour event.
Did you mention Alex Levy?
Briefly.
But I'm not sure you did, actually.
I did, but I didn't go into any detail because he's not on my shortlist.
I didn't realise it was your shortlist.
Well, it's the producer's shortlist.
Did you mention Thomas Detry? We always give him a mention on the show.
The guest always goes for him because apparently he's the next big thing. He's the next Thomas Peters, looking for form to get into the Ryder Cup.
He is a very good player. You can go all the way down. Paul Laurie's playing, Jacques Alain's playing, David Howell's playing, Thomas Bjorn, the Ryder Cup captain's playing, and so many other players that have one on tour, James Morrison's playing and are trying to re-establish themselves this year. It's a big week.
Sean Crocker, Jamie Spence really likes. Every single week he comes onto the show, he's like, gotta watch this kid.
Okay.
Do you know anything about him?
Sean Crocker?
Yeah.
I know that he shares a surname with Kojak's right-hand man. That's correct, by the way.
We need some predictions.
The predictions?
Come on, who you going
for? Listen.
And you know the rules
now. You've sung Paul Dunn's name. Not even subliminally in this show.
Okay.
You've sung his name, so I'm going to give you first pick and you can just get that out of the way.
I'm going to go for Paul Dunn as
well.
What a
surprise! What a surprise! I am going to go for, because you've got to have one whoever you want and one outside last year's top 50. So I'm going to go in reverse order.
Yeah.
My outside the top 50 pick for this week is the man who finished third last week and lost in the playoff 2 years ago in Morocco, Nacho Elvira.
Shrewd.
That is my outside the top 50 pick. Okay.
Are we sure he was outside the top 50?
I don't muck about.
All right.
Right?
Yeah, come on, second pick.
I've given you first pick. That's my pick. You get another pick.
I go again now. Okay. My outsider is going to be Jorge Campillo, who was fifth in Spain, second in Malaysia, fourth in Oman, and clocked a top 20 at Dar es Salaam last year.
Do you think the shoes that he wore last week will make an appearance this week?
Just remind our listeners what the shoes looked
like. They were yellow and red in the form of the Spanish flag. He was playing in the Spanish Open, and it worked.
Eh?
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe he'll rock the Spanish flag on his feet again.
So you've got Campillo and Dunn.
Yeah.
And I have got Nacho Elvira and the man that we talked about that needs a good performance, Thomas Peters.
Okay. That is all for now. Next week, we'll look back on events in Morocco and also ahead to the Volvo China Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest European Tour news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. You on Snapchat yet, Rob? Have you got me with a Snapchat story? You see, you'd be good, you see. Snapchat story from the Masters. Snapchat story from Madrid.
Are you on Snapchat?
You're missing out.
But are you on Snapchat?
Yes, of course I am.
You are on Snapchat. Well, anything you've got to say can be rubbed out in 10 seconds. It's a perfect forum for you.
All of those social mediums can be found on the European Tour, and you can download the official app as well. And if you've enjoyed the show, please don't forget to rate and review it on iTunes, but no bad reviews, please, only good ones. But for now, from Rob Lee,
I'm going to say goodbye and say that a review would be nice.
And myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We will see you next time.